you know, I guess you're not going to tell us anything too surprising. Cleveland presumably is very excited and going somewhat berserk with the prospect that in a few hours, LeBron officially will return.
Yeah, I mean, certainly whatever the perception is through television or Twitter or whatever you guys are following along, it's kind of nuts out here. I think people are, that song, It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Well, when 10 a.m. hit, people were treating it like it was 5 o'clock, kind of taking some liquid lunches early to get ready for this game tonight. And it obviously, we knew that it would be the center of basketball universe this year in Cleveland, but they really made an event out of it. We started to hear the names of, not only is TNT the broadcaster having, Kendrick Lamar and There Might Be Dragons, the band's playing in a free concert beforehand, but apparently Beyonce and Jay-Z are going to be here. Usher's going to be performing, right on down the list. It's kind of a, where you want to be, the hot ticket. Maybe in the whole United States tonight is in Cleveland, Ohio.
And that's the magic of LeBron, right? Like, I mean, he kind of tipped his hat to that when he wrote his letter and made his second decision. But it's not just between the lines is the story here, right?
Oh, absolutely. And it hits home particularly for me. I was living in Los Angeles up until about a month ago. Then LeBron comes to Cleveland, and guess who's moving to Ohio? So
yeah,
why wouldn't you want to move from L.A. to Ohio?
Exactly. I can't think of any reason why anyone wouldn't jump at the opportunity. But honestly, there's talk of LeBron's impact on the economy, where it could, some economists have estimated anywhere from $50 million to $500 million. It's changing people's lives. And, of course, as much as that's a great boost and that means a lot to the people out here, they would love to have the additional factor of taking home a championship, because the city hasn't known that feeling since 1964 when the Cleveland Indians won.
I was going to equate it to what else is going on in Cleveland. And the truth is that for the first time in God knows how many years, the Cleveland Browns may have a decent football team. And I'm wondering how that has impacted on LeBron mania or Cavalier mania, if at all. Do you have a sense?
It's interesting. I'm coming here kind of as an outsider, of course. So,
right.
And I've covered the league, the NBA for 10 years. So to me, LeBron James is as big as it gets.
Right.
But the Browns are a bigger deal in Cleveland than the Cavs are.
Sure.
Even with LeBron. And even, with basically a 500 record that the Browns have. That doesn't mean that the Cavs aren't receiving, a lot of support here. They sold out their season tickets within a day of LeBron signing, if not less than that, within a couple hours. But at the same time, the Browns Sunday, that's the biggest day of the week. And we already had one of these scenarios a couple weeks ago. The Cavs played their first preseason exhibition game. Well, the Browns game against the Titans, that game, that day was a much bigger deal than the first glimpse of the big three on the court together.
So LeBron goes to Miami, and the bar is really high. The expectation is championship and nothing less, or at least appearance in the championship at the very least. Is the bar that high in Cleveland?
I don't think so. I think everyone expects LeBron, by the time he's finished playing in Cleveland, to win a championship, but not necessarily this year. You saw, one, how strong the San Antonio Spurs are as a team, and they're a worthy champion and a team that a lot of people think can repeat if they stay healthy. So not only do you have that and other teams out in the Western Conference that have the continuity, you're talking about the Clippers, who have been together for years, the Warriors, the Thunder, and even in the East, you have the Bulls, who not only have been together, but they're revamping their team with Pau Gasol and Mirotić and Doug McDermott, and then they also have a healthy Derrick Rose. There are formidable teams in the league where you wouldn't just say the Cavs, even with all this talent, is heads and shoulders above everybody else. So I think there is going to be some patience with this group, but even still, if they don't win the championship, they have to be playing at a high level, or the scrutiny is going to come to them and attract like flies to the light, because we know, what happens with teams like this. When the Miami Heat came out of the gate at 9-8, people were calling for Chris Bosh to be traded. People were calling for Eric Spoelstra to be fired.
Right.
And the same type of, you know, feedback will occur with this team if they don't come out and look like a cogent squad right from the beginning.
I mean, Dave, you've been through this to some extent before with, you know, the Steve Nash, Kobe Bryant, Dwight Howard Lakers. And I remember meeting you there back when that was unraveling quite in pretty ugly fashion. If things, why do these kinds of big threes, when they do work, you look at the Celtics 07-08, and maybe in some of your experience when they don't work, what's the common thread that through the success or not as successful versions of these super teams?
I think really it comes down to the players, and you can have the organizational structure in place. You can have, you know, a great coach in place. But if the players don't pull for one another and sacrifice for one another and want to do that, I don't think you have a chance. And I think that first year in Miami, despite, you know, the relative success they had getting to the finals, Dwayne Wade had not yet succumbed to LeBron James and said, you know what, you really are the best player and I need to be the 1A to your number one. I think with the Lakers team, Dwight didn't want to play with Kobe. Kobe didn't want to play with Dwight. So that was a pretty easy one. And then even looking back years ago, you know, to the, you know, the Lakers that brought in Gary Payton, Karl Malone, right, they never got on the same page. You go back to the late 90s, Barkley and Pippen joining Olajuwon and Drexler. That was, I think, more towards just the guys being out of their prime. But it really comes down to the players being in the right moment. And I think it is a really good mix of players in Cleveland on paper. LeBron in his prime, he's flanked by a 25-year-old Kevin Love who can play inside, outside, and a 23-year-old Kyrie Irving, who's coming off the best basketball of his life this summer. So his confidence should be sky high. You know, they have the right ingredients here to win. And I think the beauty of LeBron James is he's proven to be an unselfish superstar. And so I don't think he's a guy who he needs to get his 20 shots per game to still feel like he's having a positive impact and feeling a part of things. And I think that's going to help out his younger teammates, who it might be more of a struggle for them to give up shots because that's the only thing they've ever known in their career so far.
There's been a lot of talk about Kyrie Irving and how he will fit, particularly with LeBron. Kyrie Irving, of course, a guy who likes to have the ball and likes to finish with the ball. And, LeBron is the guy. And you know, I'm wondering whether Kyrie Irving, in time, not unlike Dwayne Wade did in Miami, adjusts his game to accommodate LeBron. Do you think that's possible?
Well, honestly, I think what people in the Cavs organization want to happen, and of course we don't want to cut LeBron's prime short by any means because he's still, you know, the best player in the league, but I think they want Kyrie to shoulder more of the load and continue to play a similar role that he did in the past because LeBron James got run down in Miami, not having the support of Dwayne Wade last season, Dwayne Wade missing 28 games, LeBron playing close to 40 minutes per game, you know, just to so they can try to compete with the Pacers to get that number one seed. I don't think that it's necessarily a bad thing that Kyrie comes in with that reputation. And I think, honestly, LeBron welcomes it. Now, of course, if it leads, you know, there's one thing being assertive, there's another thing being selfish, and we'll see if Kyrie can kind of straddle that line, because I think LeBron would certainly welcome having a teammate who can go out and score 30 on any given night, and LeBron doesn't feel like
right,
all the pressure's on him in Milwaukee on a Tuesday in January.
but he's been called, Kyrie has been called selfish before, not just by me now, but by others previously, and I would counter that by saying, yeah, well, look what he had around him, you know, in any game. In any sport, and particularly basketball, somebody's got to score the points, and Kyrie Irving was capable of doing that and being the guy, and so he was. Now we find out if he's prepared to defer a little bit, even if it's just a little bit. And yeah, if he does, now you got something.
I mean, somebody's got to score on the team. I think there's it was a big storyline the last 2 years whether Kyrie Irving and Deion Waiters got along. Well, again, I think a big reason why Deion probably didn't get along too well with Kyrie was, hey, he's taking all these shots. We're not winning, so I might as well take all these shots. I could at least leave us with 28 wins like he did. I think having the presence of LeBron James kind of puts everything in its proper place, and they know who to defer to. And I think that's really the beauty of LeBron, not only his individual talent, being able to do things he wants to on the court, but, and I know it's been talked about over and over again, I don't want to sound like, you know, a cliche or a broken record, but the guy is an incredible leader. I've seen him during the preseason, you know, the team's going through pregame layup lines, LeBron stops them and starts doing 5-on-0 offensive drills, and he's the coach on the court. You know, it's not an assistant coach. He decides when they're doing it.
Wow.
And they all have rapt attention. I've never seen anything like it in my decade now covering the league. And I think, you know, that's why I think the guys with their reputations coming into this year, you can kind of couch that a little bit, because I think in the presence of LeBron, people change for the better.
I should get in the presence of LeBron then. There's hope. The Dave, Tristan Thompson, a lot of interest in this market. I guess the clock is ticking, right? They need to get an extension in front of him by tomorrow night. What's the latest on that?
We got to speak to Cavs owner Dan Gilbert yesterday, and it was the first public comments he made to a group setting of the media since February. And he was asked explicitly about Tristan. He said they have every intention to sign him long term. It's something that they want to reach, and it's something that he still expressed confidence it would occur. As we know, Tristan's not the only guy out there right now who's in the same situation looking for that next deal. They've started to trickle out slowly. Kemba Walker just got a deal done.
Mm-hmm.
I am kind of under the operating assumption that Tristan will get the deal done. I'm curious to see if it's going to be the full max or 4 years or what's it going to be, because we all know that the new TV revenue comes in 2 years from now. It's going to change the CBA completely. LeBron James's agent is the same agent, Rich Paul, as Tristan. And just like LeBron has an opt-out clause in 2 years when the new CBA will come in, maybe he'll advise Tristan do the same.
Well, in Toronto, I think DeMar DeRozan signed his 4-year extension in the hallway on the way out to the layup line. So these things too do get down to the wire.
Yeah. Your anticipation of how good this team will be, and how far they go. Are they the best in the East?
I think you got to say Chicago's still the best in the East. We've seen over the years how much continuity plays into things.
Right.
And they have a system. They have a defensive system. They have a very accomplished head coach. They have reigning defensive player in Joakim Noah, and they upgraded their team the offseason. And from what we've seen in Derrick Rose over the preseason, it looks like he's going to get close to the form he was before. So I think you have to give the nod to Chicago. But other than Chicago, I guess the two main opponents in the East would be Toronto and Washington, but those teams are very young, and they don't have much more, you know, experience playing together at a high level than the Cavs do. They have basically 1 year, and the Cavs have 0 years, but LeBron James on their team. So I think you should say they should be one of the top two teams in the East, and then say they get to the finals, you know, say the Spurs are there. Spurs have already beaten LeBron in the finals twice. It's not all of a sudden with this team that you'd expect him to get over the hump with the Spurs being such a well-oiled machine. So I think they will win a championship. I think it's probably going to take a year, but I think they should be an Eastern Conference final team. That should be the baseline of their expectations.